Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, and let's read this out loud together if we could. Let's read it out loud. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Let's do it again out loud where we can hear ourselves. Ready, go. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Lord, do speak to our hearts, change our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Thanksgiving is fun. We just came off of that. Now we have a 1 month period before going into Christmas. Are you ready for that? Really doesn't matter if you are or you're not. It cometh right around the corner. And so it's interesting how we weave in and out from one season to the next. And have you noticed that no one ever really asks us our permission if we're ready for the impending season that's about to break into the calendar and about to break into our lives and infringe upon our schedules, etc. But ready or not, it does come. And the season always seems, have you noticed, to dictate the terms. Whatever the season is, it does dictate the terms. The season is in the driver's seat, does it not? I mean, you may not be ready, you may not even have it on the brain, but all of a sudden it just breaks in and it's here. And you're like, who, what, where, who's on first? You know, what's on second? What is it? What are these songs I'm hearing playing in my ear and these strange TV shows that are on the tube? And to attempt or even think to push back is totally futile, and we would end up being a nerd or a Scrooge. But seasons are in the driver's seat, whether we like it or not. They sneak up on us. They just flat come up on us. And this can be a little bit challenging if you're not one given to change. Anyone in here just love change by chance? You okay, good. Some do, some don't. I mean, for instance, some people want to live in one house their whole life. Others actually enjoy moving every couple of years. I can't fathom that. I mean, it's like, we're going to pack it all up again and we're going to move again. But some people actually enjoy that. Same with roommates. One is content. Another wants to change it up. Blessed are the flexible. But seasons happen, such as life. And I was absolutely stunned when at the end of October, October 27th, to be exact, a strange phenomenon happened. I don't know if you heard about it or not, but the Hallmark Channel kicked off their Christmas countdown in October, the end of October, October the 27th. And I'm just thinking, you got to be, is it that time again? Hallmark Channel runs on what channel, by the way? I'm just curious. What is that? 55. What did you say? Hallmark. Okay, thank you. Well, I meant digitally, but that's pretty good. And anyway, as I'm watching it, the end of October, I'm thinking, there's no way. I mean, this cannot be. I just took my tree down. I mean, it felt like I just took my. Is it just me? I'm sitting there going, this cannot. I just took the. I can remember. As it were, yeah, I just took it down. I'm thinking, are you kidding? And I mean, to appreciate a new season, do you not have to finish the former season? I mean, the former season hadn't even run its, you know, full length. And all of a sudden, here's something breaking in. Again, didn't ask for permission. It just broke in and it's on us. And we're still decompressing from the former season. And I'm thinking, in October, November, I'm not ready for this. I'm not even sure I'm wanting this. But again, ready or not, here it comes. It never asked. Is it really time? Well, yes and no. If you've ever been to the Philippines in the fall, it's an interesting thing. They begin celebrating Christmas in September. I mean, there is nothing quite like walking through Mega Mall or Galleria or Mall of Asia in the month of September. And I mean, it is completely donned, decked out, and decorated. It's absolutely amazing. But it's a little odd in September to be going through a mall hearing jingle bells, but it's none the fact true. But going back to the Hallmark Channel, I've never seen more fake Christmas trees in all my born days, more fake snow. And of course, on the Hallmark Channel, it's always snowing on Christmas Day, right? I don't know how that happens, but the snow always comes on Christmas Day. And it's probably actually filmed in the spring or the summer. And once more, there's Candace Cameron Bure in yet another episode. But how many of you honestly will not allow yourselves to watch certain Christmas shows before a certain time? I'm just curious if there's anyone you won't go there because you're thinking it's just not time, and you're trying to get a maximum experience. I mean, watching Elf in August there's just something wrong about it. We need to minister to you if you gravitate to watching Will Ferrell in August, but it just feels off. Plus, you don't want to dilute the actual season and rob it of its effectiveness and fun. I know growing up, we were not allowed to purchase a Christmas tree until after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving had to run its course. Then we could go out and we could search for a Christmas tree. Back to Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says, "He, God, has made or makes everything beautiful." How? In its time. Makes everything beautiful in its time. In chapter 8, verse 6, "For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter. But when the proper time does come, one important key in truth in life is, number one, admitting that there even are seasons. Some people can't even get themselves to acknowledge, well, it's coming. I may not have signed up for it, but they are real. And it's coming." So number one, admitting that there are seasons. And then secondly, discerning them and understanding their intent and purpose. And of course, I'm speaking of spiritual seasons or just seasons of ebb and flow in our life and different chapters, different stages in our life. Because you see, human nature will take one season and expect that to be the norm and the rule of life. Have you ever thought that way before? You were in a particular season, and you just deduced in your thinking, well, I guess that's just the way it's going to continue to be, not realizing that it's a season, has a beginning and has an end. And sometimes we take that one season and expect it to be the norm. We expect it to be the rule of life. Noah, for one, probably reasoned that something God did only once could possibly be normative and normal. After the flood, God had to tell Moses in Genesis 8:22. He said, "As long as the earth endures, Noah, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." In other words, these things are going to go on. These rhythms, Noah, these cycles. And he helped his man even by putting a bow in the sky as a covenantal reminder, "I will not destroy the earth by flood again." And so he is encouraging Noah here. I want to put it out there today and encourage us to detect and discern the season of three realms. Number one, our nation. Number two, our family. Number three, ourselves. Our nation, our family, ourselves. And yes, there are other realms. There are seasons in business, your church, your city, your relationships, your finances, et cetera, et cetera. How many of y'all have experienced seasons in these different areas? Or has it been like this your whole life? Have you experienced ebb and flow? But just for today, consider the jurisdiction of nation, family, and self. Understanding the season we are in lends great security, understanding, and perspective to any endeavor or chapter of our lives. Understanding the concept helps us. Sometimes we need to back off and up to 30,000 feet to get a God view of things. Sometimes we don't see the trees for the forest. It's like we're too much in the moment to see from a different vantage point. That's why we consider the wisdom and the mind and the perspective of the Lord. If not, we'll get squirrely. If all we're looking at is what we see, we'll get, you know, it'll erode certain things that God wants to foster in our lives. I mean, what if Joseph, when he was thrown into the pit and betrayed and left for dead and later imprisoned after being falsely accused, took that season to be the norm and the rule of his life? He could have. I mean, when his brothers betrayed him, they threw him in the pit. That was a bad day. And he could have thought, I just can't believe this. Well, I hope they remember me one day when I'm long and gone, you know. But he was brought out. We know he was sold into slavery. We know the favor of God was on him. We know he got promoted. We know he got falsely accused. We know he got thrown into prison. And any one of those seasons, he could have said, this is the rule, or this is the lot. This is what it's going to look like. But he didn't. And if he did, he would have missed the divine design of God's plan. So would many around him have missed the contribution he was about to bring the nation. What if David, having been rejected and ignored by his father, I mean, can you imagine the highly prestigious and highly esteemed prophet Samuel coming to your home and asking Jesse, I'd like to see your sons, and he lines them all up, but he leaves one in the field, doesn't even invite David in. And because he knows that God has put it on him that he's going to anoint the next king of Israel, and he's looking at them tall, dark, and handsome, and he's thinking, no, the Spirit of God's not got falling on any of these. Man looks at the outside, God looks at the heart, and he asks, do you not have another one? Well, I mean, can you imagine? Well, yeah, you know, we got David, you know, there. So what if David, having been rejected, ignored, when Samuel comes over, and then mocked by his brothers. Remember, he was merely trying to bring lunch to the front lines when they were fighting the Philistines. He's just trying to be the lunch boy. He's the courier to bring lunch. And they're like, what are you doing here, David? Your heart is always filled with wickedness. What are you doing bringing here, trying to get in on the action? I mean, bless God, he couldn't catch a break. And then he goes out and does business with Goliath, you know the story, and comes into the king's court. And before you know it, he's got spears being thrown at him by the king, by his boss. Spears, shoo, what was that? That was a spear. Why are you throwing spears at me? You know, it's like all I did was try to help the nation. All I did was take down the giant, you know. And I didn't preempt when the people were in the streets singing, you know, Saul slayed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. That's when that spirit of jealousy came in to Saul. But here he is doing good for the nation, helping them, and all of a sudden a spear comes his way. And then all of a sudden he's chased by this king, this demonized madman, running for his life, living in caves. Now, can you imagine being in those caves, those damp, dark caves, thinking, well, I wish I could kind of get some of my furniture in here because we're going to be here a long time. I guess this is what life's going to look like. I don't know if they got ESPN way out here or not. I don't know, but I reckon I got to kind of get used to it. It's kind of like that Japanese soldier that thought the war was still going on in Guam and was hiding out for 30-something years before he finally discovered, no, the war's been off, you know, years ago. But he's up in this cave thinking probably, I'm sure he was tempted to be, This could be it, except for the fact that he was anointed secretly by Samuel. But here he is in these caves. He could have taken that season to be the norm and the rule of his life. Or when he's finally vindicated, he finally ascends the throne, then his own flesh and blood. Here comes Absalom trying to knock off his dad. So now he's getting it from both sides. Jesse ignores him and rejects him on that end. And then his own flesh and blood, the seed of Bathsheba, now he's trying to create a coup d'etat and knock David off the throne. He's like, dear Lord, I reckon this just my lot. He could have thought, this is the norm. This is the rule. What about Jabez, whose mother, what was she thinking, actually named her son Pain? I mean, he could have easily just resigned to that. All right, well, I reckon I'm Pain. I reckon she prophesied it. I've got a life of pain. All right, I reckon that's my, you know, it's like Charlie Brown. I got a rock, you know. And so here's mom, doesn't even know any better. Instead of calling him up to what he could be, and the Lord names him Pain based on her experience. It's like, don't put that on me just because you're having a bad day. Don't put that on me and label me and make that pronouncement. What about Solomon, who was heir to the throne of his father David, but then his own brother, Adonijah, got horses and chariots and 50 men running ahead of him, declaring he would be king. He wasn't anointed. He just had a good idea. David has passed away. You know what? I think I'm next. I think I'm the anointed. And so he creates it by the arm of the flesh, begins to get some folk to blow some trumpets and to kick up a bunch of dust, gets 50 men running ahead of him, horses and chariots, declaring that he's going to be king, sacrificing great numbers of cattle, sheep, inviting all the other king's sons, the priest, and even the commander of David's army, Joab, who had fought David's battles. He was even in on it. And they're eating, drinking, celebrating this false coronation. What about Samson, whose eyes were gouged out by the Philistines? But who had the final word? What about our Jesus, betrayed, rejected by his disciples, falsely accused by the Jews, dealt a huge legal blow of injustice by Pilate, beaten and handed up on a cross to die? I mean, talk about seasons and unpredictability. Who saw that coming? Now, he had foreshadowed it, had he not? He had prophetically spoken about it, but they were dull of mind and heart. But I mean, everything was riding high, and out of nowhere, this season broke in. But it broke in the economy and with permission from the Father. Everything is Father filtered if we truly have a proper view of the sovereignty of God. Not a dual view of God's sovereign some of the time. No, he really is a tremendous leader. I'm yielded to him, and he's sovereign over my life. What about that? For all these people, it was real. It was painful beyond what we could imagine. And it was also a season. You know, as a pastor, I have watched people over the years knocked down hard, but not knocked out. And I've watched them ascend to higher heights than they even ever could imagine or thought possible. That's fun to watch. That's fun. Because the temptation was to ponder and resign. That season is the rule and the norm, when it wasn't. Right around the corner was something in God's mind and heart. When I was in Guam this past October, when I'm usually there on these annual trips, I usually touch base with some of my minister friends that are pastoring other churches or part of different ministries. And the last afternoon I was there, this past trip in October, one of my pastor friends, we connected together, and he goes, well, he said, I'm in prison right now. And he didn't mean literal, obviously, but he meant figuratively. And he began to unpack some of the things that were going on in his life. But in spite of it, he was still hopeful, and he knew that he was in a prison season, not a prison destiny. Hello. He knew that it was a season. He knew, and he had the wherewithal to even admit it. A lot of people in the South, how you doing? Fine. Everything's fine. You know, everything's falling apart, but we're fine. Everything's fine. Dog's fine. Mom's fine. House fine. Just fine. You're dying. Fine. You know, he just came out with it. He goes, I'm in prison right now. And he began to just relay thing after thing after thing. And the timing was a bit unfortunate, and everything was crescendoing. And there was empathy and compassion felt at that moment. But a big difference to resigning to it versus knowing that God has another play. Even that phrase, I'm in prison right now, revealed perspective, as most would think of Joseph through that word picture. Remember what it was said about Joseph, what the enemy meant for evil. What? God intended it for what? I mean, that is weighty. And again, that leaves the control devices in the hands of God. Even the enemy is a pawn of the devil. People fear the devil. Don't fear him. He's created. Fear the uncreated God. Don't fear creation. Fear creator. Even the enemy is a pawn in the hands of God. So what the enemy meant to take you out, the enemy, Peter, has asked for permission to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you, son. And when you have strengthened, you go and you strengthen your brothers. And I tell you what, he was strengthened indeed. He was so strengthened and so full of the might of God and the life of God that when he was martyred, he said, no, flip me upside down. That's not fragility. That's not fear. That's some serious confidence. Flip me up. Not even worthy to be crucified like my Lord, you see. What the enemy meant for evil, God intended for good. God took Joseph from the prison to the palace where he saved a nation during a severe time of famine, a season of famine. It had a beginning, it had an end, and Joseph was the hero. Now, he wouldn't have fought that when he was in that pit, but that pit wasn't the norm and it wasn't the rule of his life. I remember years ago co-leading a ministerial in Guam, and we were... There were some real tensions that were brewing due to some really ugly factions in this ministerial that we were part of. It was ecumenical. I mean, you had people from every brand of Christianity. I mean, from every spectrum and everything in between. And there were some things going on, and it was ugly. And my friend said, "Yeah, these are kind of the Vietnam War Nixon years," and was kind of laughing. But I appreciate the humor, just being able to identify it and to have good humor and laugh. It's good to have humor because you know it's just a season, but the season will turn. Do we believe in resurrection up in here? Do we believe it's practical in its outworking? Do we believe in the afterlife? Certainly, if not, if all we have is this, we're to be pitied. But again, today, consider three realms: nation, family, yourself. Ask, what is God saying on these three realms? What is he saying about nation? What is he saying about your family? What is he saying to you? What is God doing in the nation? What's God doing in your family? What's God doing with you? Because he's always doing something all the time. It's fun to discern it, to get a handle by walking with the Lord and watch him play out what he's initiating in you. On our nation, 1 Chronicles 12:32 says that the men of Issachar, they understood the what? They understood the times and knew what Israel should do. They understood the what? They understood the times. Understanding helps us to pray intelligently and to be informed, not by what the eye sees or the ear hears, thus enabling us to actually make a righteous judgment. We ask, God, what are you up to? Understanding the time. Where do we get our cues? The men of Issachar, they knew and understood the times. Matthew 16. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus, tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He responded and he replied, "When evening comes, you say it'll be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning today, it'll be stormy for the sky is red and overcast." You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. And as believers concerning our nation, God has called us up to higher ground to gain his heart trusting that he's Lord and he's up to something. Now, are there seasons of judgment? Certainly. Are there spankings? Certainly. Does God let man go his own way? Certainly. But in the end, God will have his way. It's just a matter of who will he have it with? What group of people will he have it with? Who will cut covenant with God? And if we blow it and miss it, he'll raise up another folk who will. We can even hasten the coming of the Lord based on our obedience. And so, again, we have the ability to interpret the signs of the times, to get God's heartbeat. We don't want to get it from the news. We don't want to get it from the internet. Dear me, certainly don't get it from social media. Dare to get quiet and ask God. He'll tell you. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. What season are we in? Why are we in this season? What are you wanting to do through this season? You know, nations are like individuals. They have destinies. I mean, our friend Daniel Walwer is always asking me to pray with him for Kenya. They just came through some interesting elections. He's always filling me in. Stand with this, because just like you have an individual destiny, there's destinies on cities. There's destinies on corporations. There's destiny on nations. And to be able to tap in, God, what's your heart for America? Many times we're ready to kick it to the curb. God's not. God is a redeemer. He's great in redeeming stuff, redeeming mess. And when we write someone off or we write a situation off, it completely violates the theology of Christ the Redeemer. He redeems. In other words, it means it was without hope, and he flat redeems by his blood and his body. And it's his value then that kicks into play. If the one with the greatest value in the universe redeems you, if God pulls a Boaz and he's your kinsman redeemer, then if they're the ones redeeming you and placing the value on you, you have value. And the situation has value because he's given everything. He's being spent for it. What about your family? Are you in a sowing season? Are you in a reaping season? Somewhere in the middle? Remember, Jesus was in a hidden season in John 2 when his mother wanted him to turn the water into wine. Jesus said in John 2:4, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My what? Time has not come." My what? My time. My time. My season. See, the people didn't yet know that he was the Christ. He had not yet revealed his glory. And this would be the first when he would actually reveal his glory. But he was saying, there's a time, there's a season. And he did acquiesce, we know. There's a proper time and procedure for every matter. We just read that in Ecclesiastes. Jesus wasn't compromising. He just wanted to strategically come out in the right time to maximize his ministry. He knew what he had to do. He knew the minute I come out, they're going to try to kill me. He said, I've got a small window to get her done. He did it in 3.5 years. His ministry was very short-lived. He lived 33 years. His ministry was only 3. It's amazing what he packed into 3 years. But he was very strategic. He walked by need all the time. I mean, we drive by situations all the time. Ask the Lord, would you have me do anything? Jesus didn't do anything that he didn't see his Father do. He didn't say anything he didn't hear his Father say. So he too was led by the Spirit of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are called what? Sons of God. So the need is not the bottom line. It's like, God, what are you doing? God, what are you saying? A lot was at stake and on the line. John 7, verse 1. Jesus went around Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do." No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told them, the right, what? Time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. That's a strategic man. That's a man led of the Spirit. That's a thoughtful man. That's a man walking in the fear of the Lord. That's one of the seven spirits of God, you see. He said, my time, first of all, he didn't give a rip about being a public figure, did he? See, it reveals that even the brothers really didn't believe in him. You know, they're just kind of coaxing him on. Even his own disciples wanted him to be a ruler in Israel for political purposes, not knowing that he was born to die, not to be, you know, just... No, he was a man familiar with suffering, given to suffering. And so he told them, the right time for me has not come. For you, it's arbitrary. Any time will do. Discern your season properly. We have to do that all the time. School, you got to discern school. You got to discern where to go, what to major in. Buying a house. I don't know about you, but for us, that was a spiritual decision. We were tempted to go one way, and at the last minute, we pulled back. As a family, we prayed. God gave us a prophetic picture. We acted on that. In large part, by a fourth grader in our family who had the word of the Lord. Y'all heard me tell this story, hadn't you? We were looking at this house. It was just $10,000 above what we wanted to pay. And we're like, nah, we want to have a story. I want a testimony. Didn't want to pay but so much. This was just merely a $10,000 more. I thought we can shake the trees, figure it out. Then we prayed as a family. One of my daughters saw a blackboard, yes and no written. No was circled twice. You're like, oh, fourth grader. No. Fourth grader doesn't have a little bitty Jesus like Ricky Bobby. Dear sweet baby Jesus. No. Jesus of Nazareth lives in the fourth grader. Hello. And we just didn't feel a peace about it. And then we turn on 700 Club, which we never watch. And there's Terry Newsom saying, someone here, you're wanting to buy a house, but you're feeling pushed. The word of the Lord is you wait for the word of the Lord. That and some other factors, we thought, we're to wait, but we really wanted it. Don't make a judgment of what the eye sees and the ear hears. We waited. And then we came into a situation which was where God wanted us, but we found out after the fact when that house did sell, they found radon in the yard. They found the boundaries had been cut out too wide and they had to narrow it in. And that was after the fact. There were all these things that we found out after the fact happened, you see. But we discerned the season. Buying a house. Marriage. It's not always the season for marriage, but there is a season for it. We want it in God's time. I mean, dear Lord, I'd rather be single than married to the wrong one. Hello? But there's a time. We want it, and he makes everything beautiful in its time. And again, this is where either he's Lord or he's not. Either he knows what he's doing. Well, what if she's on, or what if he or she's on the other side of the world? Well, God can just tilt and kind of shake them down to where they... I mean, he just got away. I wouldn't have met Elizabeth had there not been an incident where the campus minister there got in a car wreck and had to go on sabbatical, and then I needed to go up there to help that. And you don't want to take that too far, but that needed to happen to get up there. Why? My spouse was there. But God can do it, you see. Job, career, discern your season properly. Going back to Christ, of course, the minute he came out of the closet, everybody wanted to kill him, throw him off the cliff. I mean, dear me. When Jesus was finally arrested, I loved what he said in Luke 22. Love this. He said, then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, am I leading a rebellion that you've come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. In other words, go ahead and do it. Go ahead. I'm letting you do it. You go ahead and do it. This is your hour. It's kind of like with a Clint Eastwood little glint, you know, little light. Now you go ahead. This is your hour. My hour's coming. Go on. Go on with your bad self. This is your hour. Do your worst. This is your time. My time's coming. My time's coming. Say, my time's coming. Come on, say it out loud like you believe it. My time's coming. Come on, say it again. My time's coming. Come on, prophesy. My time's coming. And you may have had one of those things where it was the enemy's hour. Maybe you were accused. Maybe you were betrayed. Maybe you were undercut. Maybe someone stole the glory. Who knows what happened? That's okay. That's okay. This is your hour. My hour comes. My hour is coming. Why? Because there's a God in heaven and he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make junk. He knows what he's doing. He hurled the galaxies into existence. Look at those beautiful leaves. Dear me, don't tell me that's chance. That's beauty that reflects the beautiful one. Thank God for it. This is your hour, but mine is coming. I love how in 1 Kings 17, God told Elijah, Elijah, go hide yourself. Okay? A mere chapter later, 1 Kings 18, Elijah, go show yourself. Well, which one is it? Yeah. But see, we live in the moment by the leading of the Spirit all the time. We plan out as far as we know, but those who lived this life around Christ, they lived in real time, in the moment. Yes, they planned. Yes, they did all they knew to do, like Paul does, but the Spirit of God has the right to check you and say, no, don't go east, go west. Don't go here, go there. And so Elijah, when you're a bondservant, you just say, yeah. So Elijah, go hide yourself. Oh, okay. Well, that's not real fun, but he told me to do it. You know, and you kind of, in the cleft of the rock, whatever, just kind of, you know. And then not too many days after, Elijah, huh? Go show yourself. Go stand before the king and say, King, it's not going to rain anymore until I say so. Good day. Okay. The power of God enabled him to hide because it wasn't his season. And it was the same power of God that enabled him to stand before that king and say, it's not going to rain anymore except by my word. Over here, the wine was fermenting. And you don't want to abort the process. That's why we don't take one season and expect it to be the norm and the rule of life. Something else is coming around, you see. So what season are we in as a nation, as a family, educationally, occupationally, relationally? Financially, then individually, assess and make righteous judgments. Don't let the ebb and flow of certain seasons bother you. There are cycles to life. Not too long ago, I heard a pastor say, and this is someone who had been in ministry, 35 years plus. He said, I don't think I can read another book. He goes, I am read out. I am read out. He goes, I'm just going to live off my reservoir for a little while. Then there are seasons, and all we do is read, 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 read. Ah, hungry. Knowledge is power, right? Even the aged Paul in prison told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:13. He said, when you come, Timothy, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially, Timothy, the parchments. What were the parchments? They were the books. In other words, I'm Paul the aged, but I want my books. How many of y'all appreciate your books, you know? And when you loan it out, make sure you put your name in that bad boy so you can get it back. If not, it's like, see you later. All right, anyway, bring my books. Bring my book. Yet Solomon also states in Ecclesiastes 12:12, of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. It's not either or. It's what season are you in? How many of y'all have had seasons of going deep, 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 deep? And the other times you just got to pull out. Doesn't mean you're not spiritual. It just means you got to pull out. Everything can't be deep, 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 deep. It's like giving out, giving out, giving out, giving out, giving out. You got to find reprieve. It doesn't mean that you do your reprieve by faith just like you gave out by faith. You take that Sabbath by faith just like you ministered by faith. Are we here? Rest by faith, labor that you might enter his rest. Sometimes it takes faith to find that Sabbath place. Amen? As a UNC campus minister, I would evangelize hours a day, every day. Then there was a shift from God where I would be drawn to pray hours a day, every day. It's not either or, but it's the season. Also, I had to learn rhythms of rest. Exodus 34. Here God gave this to Moses. 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest, even during the plowing season and harvest season. You got to rest. Now, you're talking about something to just want, you want to say, heck no. I mean, even during plowing season and I've been in moves of God that they met every night for 5 years and took two off. The world was coming. 5 million people would come through the doors. And they still honored rhythms. They thought, they'll be there tomorrow if it's God. If it's on me, I got to make it happen. If this is God that's bringing people from all over the world, they'll be there on Monday night. We don't have to be there Saturday and Sunday. They'll be there Monday night. Hello? The wisdom of God. We try not to be smarter than God. So even during harvest, we don't beat the system. It's not a legalistic thing. The Sabbath was made for us, but there's a principle to be honored. Psalm 23 says, He makes us to lie down in green pastures. Why? Because our soul needs to be restored, rebooted. One prophetic man said, after a night of intense prophetic ministry and prophesying, he said, well, I now need to go back to my room and heal and recover and put Humpty Dumpty back together again. In other words, it's like spent, that virtue goes out. And then it's like when that virtue goes out, that is real substance. When the life of God that you've prayed in and walked before the Lord, when that virtue goes out, you go back and you reboot. I mean, even going to the gym, you don't go every day and work on the same muscle, because when you're lifting that muscle, you're tearing it up. It's got to grow back. And so you use a different set of muscles, but you can do it every other day. There's a rhythm there. We can learn from these things. When we give out, then we retreat and we're re-empowered. Rhythms and seasons serve God's purpose in our life. We just came off Thanksgiving. We're getting ready to enter into Christmas. You know, it's interesting with students, because students, they'll have Thanksgiving. It's like, woo, feast, fun, family. Then they come back to school and all of a sudden it's like, dear Lord, the exams are right around the corner. I mean, you just go from woo, woo to, man, I got to put my nose to the grindstone. I mean, it's just, we're weaving in and out all the time. But you know what? It's by God's design. You didn't volunteer for the season. The season volunteered on you. It's like Hallmark starting at the end of October. Are you kidding? Well, it's here. The Christmas music is here. And so we weave in and out. Just came off Thanksgiving, getting ready to go into Christmas. Then comes the new year. You know, in Scripture, you can find both seasons and times of feasting and fasting. They're both there, and they're both validated biblically. We try to take one season, again, and make it the rule. Feasting, 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 feasting. Fasting, 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 fasting. It's like, no, God, what do you want? What offering do you want? What worship do you want today? We're not our own. We always fast and consecrate in every incoming new year. Right now, though, we're setting the scales back 10 pounds, aren't we? Fall back. Oh, that's for clocks, right? It's not for the scales. Anyway, it might be a good idea just to set them back. Seasons and variety in life help the soul. You know, in Guam, it was 12 months a year of sameness. Just the idea of leaves turning. It was the same temperature. And then some of the islanders would talk about, ooh, it's a little cool. It would go up maybe 3 to 5 degrees, you know, drop cooler maybe around December. But it was just tropical hot. You'd go out at 6 in the morning, hot. I went through four alternators in a couple of months. Our air condition would only catch up at 3 in the morning and cut off. It was just always hot, always the same, just same. And you think it's beautiful, but it's great to just change it up on occasion. I'd have to watch Macy's Day Parade a week later. I was never on the stateside calendar. Oh, me. What season are you in? Do you have perspective in it? Can you enjoy it? Do you have joy in it? Are you leaning into God, looking to Him? Where are our eyes? Do you have hope for your nation? Do you have faith for your family? Do you have expectation for yourself? We certainly should, as God is our constant and His word is our anchor. Seasons don't ask for permission, they just come, ready or not. Yet Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that never changes regardless of the season. So bring on the Hallmark countdown in October, yikes. Bring on the new job. Bring on the new responsibility. Bring on the uncertainty after graduation. Bring on the changes in relationships. Bring on the people that move in, then move away. Bring on, you fill in the blanks, for our God remains the same. He's great at being God. Great at being God. Can we stand on our feet? Lord, we thank you. Oh God of the seasons, ready or not, here they come. Lord, thank you for the record we have from Scripture. Lord, as we weave in and weave out, thank you for the reminder, Lord, that not one period is it the norm and the rule of life. Lord, for you have another chapter and you have more grace, Father, to administer. So, Lord, everyone here at a different place, I just pray in these next couple of weeks, coming off Thanksgiving, Lord, for these students that are returning, going to hit it hard in exams, and then embracing the Christmas evening, and then bringing in 2018. May we be ready when it comes, and may we rightly discern the signs of the times, nationally, in our family, and individually. Give perspective by the Spirit. Give us the 30,000-foot aerial view and perspective. Oh God, we pray. Show us what you want us to know. Show us what you want us to know. Hallelujah.